on the phone this morning here at Rosie on the House with Jason, calling from Tucson, who before the break got on the line and was explaining to us he's a little perplexed about a home inspection report he's gotten on a home he's trying to sell. And Jason, I can tell you that not all home inspectors are created equal, and they really are, generally speaking, a long string of personal opinions. So the report is only as good as the experience of the man or the woman doing the inspection. And the only way you can counter a home inspection report that you're not happy with is bring in, you know, another opinion and just put the opposing opinions up there and let the buyer and the realtor, you know, negotiate their way through the situation. But when you really take a look at most home inspection reports, they will take you to the roof and they will issue an opinion. This roof appears to be original to the home construction in 1987. You should contact a licensed bonded insurance roofing company to do an inspection. Then they go on to the plumbing and they say, this water heater appears to be original to the 1987 construction. It's nearing the end of its economic life. You should call a licensed plumber to inspect it. So it really just is giving you notice of things that are nearing their economic life. I've seen very few home inspection reports that do much more than just protect the realtors. And the realtors love the home inspection report because at least then it's a theoretically a disinterested third party looking the property over. It releases the realtor from a lot of liability. So I've got really mixed feelings about the home inspection industry as a whole. I can tell you when we're dealing with Tucson real estate,
we have what they call the Tucson trifecta we've put together. It is seal of approval home inspections. They do a phenomenal job. They've been with us 7 or 8 years now and have been doing home inspections even longer. And that, well, like I said, you got to be in business 5 years. And that's one thing that is hard to find, a home inspector who's been in business that long, ASHI certified. Then you also need a realtor. We've got Joan Kahn Realty with Tierra Antigua. And then you need a finance guy, and we've got Hotchkiss Finance. So it's a perfect combination of finance, realtor, and home inspector. If you're looking to buy or sell in Tucson, you can find them all at rosieonthehouse.com under the Certified Partner Network.
There you go. From there, we're going to run over to Glendale and talk to Roman. Good morning, Roman. Welcome to Rosie on the House.
Morning, guys. I got a hot room question for you guys.
Okay.
I got a house. My house I bought in, it'll be 6 years here going in November. And I bought, the house was built in 06, 07, I believe. And we had this hot room since we moved in. We just kind of dealt with it. But this, it's like unbearable. You walk into that room and it's like night and day. And I believe it's ductwork because with the radar, with the temperature gun, I've shot the air coming out of the hot room. It's the same as the rooms that are cold.
Okay.
And I went up there, and I don't see anything obvious or anything. But I've talked to a couple of AC buddies, and they said the company who did that, it's a huge company here in Phoenix, maybe the biggest.
Yeah.
One of the biggest. And they said they're known for a real bad duct work. And I know that's true because I had a house in 99, had it built from new, and I would go once a week to see the progress being built. And I noticed the ductwork was, you know, tangled and all. And I just told an inspector, and he was right. You're right. He goes, he made him redo it.
Yeah.
And what are the chances of getting this company to, I know it's been, you know, over 10, you know, it's built in 07, to correct the problem? Because, I mean, it's not like a moving part, like, you know, a compressor or
right.
something that gets normal wear. Ductwork is not a moving part. If they took shortcuts at it, or what do you think my rights are in that situation?
Well, Roman, the first thing I would encourage you to do is let's not assume it's a duct problem. Let's do a whole house energy audit. That's going to give you a clue as to what contributing factors may also be a part of this hot room. And it'll give you an analysis of the whole house, which it's the smartest $100 any homeowner can spend. Get the whole house energy audit. Let's get it identified as to whether it's a duct problem, an insulation problem, a layout problem. And it never hurts to ask the builder or the original HVAC contractor, but I'm very suspicious you will get no help from either one of them. That's just my gut feeling. And you're going to be on the hook to fix it yourself. But I can tell you, it's probably flex duct. If it's just going to the one room, it isn't going to be prohibitively expensive to go back to the closest junction and either change that line out, enlarge that. But don't do any of that until you do an energy audit that gives you the balance of the system through the whole house. Start there. Take the inspection. Bring it to the builder. Bring it to the HVAC guy. See if they're willing to come out and take a look at it. And that's probably the best you'll be able to do. If they won't do anything, then get to our website, rosieonthehouse.com. Find your home inspection company there. Find your mechanical. If Rheus, one of our home inspection companies, could actually do the duct repair as a part of the
home energy audit company.
Home energy audit.
And even if it was a big production builder, there's still a very good chance it was done to minimum workmanship standards for the ROC, and it was done to the proper building code requirements. But the minimum isn't as good as we can do. And unfortunately, that does come with a higher cost that most production builders don't, they're cost driven. And, there's definitely a need for economic housing. Just unfortunately, there's a number of improvements like fixing hot rooms that have to, leave the homeowner to mess with later.
And everybody's building a much better house than we were building 30 years ago. So everybody's getting better. Let's get that energy audit done, Roman, and go from there. I'd be happy once you get that energy audit done to visit with you and go through it line item by line item. So don't hesitate to call me back and we'll get on the phone and talk our way through it. There's a lot of reasons one room can be hot.
Gary, is that line 5? Okay. Was that a virtual high five or is that a line 5? Pick up line 5.
I'm going to go to line 5.
All right, which is Garrett. Welcome from Tucson. How can we help you?
Hi, yeah. I hired a general contractor to do some stucco work on my house. I bought a flipped house that had really poor stucco, and I hired him to rip it down, check to see if everything was properly flashed. There was a lot of cracking on the interior, so it looked like they probably did not. He hired a subcontractor to do the work, the stucco portion, and he was supposed to take care of things like flashing and the sheathing and making sure it was ready for stucco. Well, upon completing the home, there's no weepscreet at all installed in areas where it was framed in wood. And so I started to call into question, do you guys know building code? And they didn't seem to really know very well the different things that were required by building codes. And so I'm looking for somebody to help me understand, how much they might have done wrong. And if I'm ultimately looking for somebody who could come out to my house and take a look at some things. One of my questions is, I'm pretty sure they installed building paper that said it was double building paper, but I was wondering if that means that's two layers as required by residential building code.
Well, I tell you what, Garrett, we mentioned seal of approval home inspection services down in Tucson. I think I would tell you, just call seal of approval and see if they'll come out and do an inspection for you, and they'll be able to tell you how much of it was or wasn't done according to code. A lot of your ability to get recourse on this and get it fixed is going to be how detailed the contract was written. And you may or may not have some recourse with the Register of Contractors.
And the nice thing about
if it was a licensed, bonded, insured contractor.
And the nice thing about David from Seal of Approval, he'll be able to get there quicker than somebody from the registrar.
Yes.
And then tell you if this is a case that you do have for the registrar instead of getting on their queue and waiting. And, you know, that contractor could be who knows where by then. And I would try and stick with the existing contractor first, just because if it was not done to workmanship standard, they're going to have to do it. If you bring in another contractor, they're not going to want to fix anyone else's work. They're going to want to start back from the beginning, which is what I would want to do. I'm not,
yeah.
And I, you know, but that's another extreme cost to you. And it's one of those lessons that when we're looking for contractors, we do the homework up ahead of time to make sure that these are people that know what they're doing. And it sounded like this guy hired a subcontractor, and you kind of have your faith in the general that he did the work, but that's not always the case.
Well, it sounds like Garrett knows enough about building codes. He's probably right. There's some things that got done that weren't quite right. So follow your gut, Garrett, and let's see where it can take you.
All right, we're just going to take the call blind. Jennifer is not back yet, but Susie Q just got up from Tucson, and she's call screening for us.
Let's go to Carlson. You want
okay.
to take it? Yeah, let's give it a shot.
All right. Carlson, welcome to the broadcast. How may we help you? You know, a lot of times I've noticed the names that show up on the caller ID aren't the name of the caller.
And you're right. Carlson, what's your first name?
Larry.
Okay. Larry, you're on with Rosie on the House.
Great. I'm in Phoenix. I rehabbed a townhouse, bought a townhouse for just over $100,000, if you can believe it. Now it's worth about $200,000. And I gutted most of it myself. I had a couple challenges, though, with one of the bathrooms. It was in bad shape. It was a acrylic enclosure. It was a shower. It was like maybe 3x6. So we took it out, and one of my friends is a contractor and put in Italian marble tile floor to ceiling, and we did the floor. Now, it turns out the floor had to be redone twice. We couldn't get it level, and I'll be honest with you, it's a nightmare if all the water's not draining, because you're going to have mildew issues and just a ton of things. And I was doing research online about putting in regular acrylic enclosures, and I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, if the pan is actually okay, but it's just the way the tile was laid, but you can't get it even because of the property. Is it smart, do you think, to pull out the floor tile and maybe try to do some kind of acrylic bottom and maybe go up the walls maybe a couple feet? Is that something that you've seen done?
Well, it's kind of hard, Larry, because the way you waterproof a shower is you start at the bottom, you start at the drain, and you bring a vinyl liner underneath the floor and up the walls. And then you work from the bottom up. If you go in there and cut the tile at 2 feet above the floor, it's very hard at that point to get your next flashing, your next liner, back underneath the tile that you're leaving on the wall. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm saying it's almost so much work that people start that way, just to remove the pan, and they end up virtually just taking everything down and starting all over. I wish I had better news for you, but that's probably what you're going to have to do.